Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. The Reds are playing in the Champions League final. What the hell's going on? What is this life that we are living? We had Roy Hodgson in charge once upon a time. We used to do this friggin' show in the back of Ruby House with a hand-painted banner with fucking Roy Hodgson as the manager, and now we've got Jürgen Klopp in the Champions League final. To discuss that and all things Liverpool, I have got Chris Pajak, John Gibbons and Steve Hoare as well. I don't think it gets much better than that. We've got a Champions League final and you lads, you're amongst the best in the world at doing this shit, like, you know what I mean? So great. Gibbo.
Hi.
Hello.
Good to have you back, mate.
Nice to be here. It's been a while.
It's been a mad... You're obviously doing the Anfield Wrap. You're getting it the same as us. It's been a mad few weeks, to say the very least.
Yeah, it has, isn't it? And it's been... You know, obviously there was the last league game and a little bit of nerves around that because we wouldn't want to have next season's qualification for the tournament hanging over us as well. We got through that, so that's great. So that's put to bed now. So now you can just enjoy it purely for what it is, which is a chance to win our favourite cup, isn't it? I think it's everyone's. It's the prettiest. It's the one that Liverpool's got the love affair with. And it's just so exciting. And now it feels great as well in terms of, because obviously last week in Liverpool, that's all everyone was talking about here. You know, you go wherever you go, people are talking about it. But for the rest of the country, there was the FA Cup final, there's some wedding or something, I don't know. But today, putting the radio on the way down here, everyone's just talking about the football, and Liverpool's the centre of the universe, as it should be.
This is exactly it. I haven't, every time I go into a shop, Chris, I'm either someone who's directly asking me about it or I'm overhearing conversations about it. You know, we were driving up to Anfield before and it's just people are sticking flags out the windows.
I'd forgotten that was a thing. Yeah. It's been so long, I've just forgotten that was a thing. And, you know, the other thing that I really love about all this, the fact that the Blue Noses are getting out of the city. Yeah. Like, Ped from Toffee TV, he's going to Manchester on Saturday night.
He's in that trip to York Races that's going on.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and then, like, just in case, they've all planned a trip to North Wales for the Sunday in case there's a homecoming or anything like that. I love that. Flags on all the side of the buildings. Everton fans out the city. Bonja.
Just like rats fleeing, aren't they? Great. Steve, have you been? I found myself for literally 2 weeks now waking up in the middle of the night and just going like, and having a little think for a few minutes and then dropping back off again. I've had some poor sleep for 2 weeks because of this.
My missus hates the LA song because I'm just humming it, I'm whistling it, I can't stop. I'm in the car singing it, and it's mad. It's one of those, Paul, where it's just unbelievable, like. It wasn't, relatively speaking, it wasn't that long ago, you know, 10 years or whatever, but it feels an absolute lifetime ago. And like you say, it's not, we've lived through this before, us four of us, we've all lived through it, but it's kind of re-brought it back again.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this time, it feels more jovial, a bit more, like that one was always very, like that whole Champions League run up to 2005, and even 2007 was very intense, you know, it was like loads of like 1-0, squeaky bum time, all that. This has just been a mad laugh.
Yeah.
Where we've just turned up on the footy pitch and just scored absolute tons of goals. And I think everyone just can't wait to see how Liverpool go against, you know, the team who, apparently it's their competition. I think it's our competition, so now we just go and show them. And just go, can we do what we've done to Porto, what we've done to City, what we've done to Rome? Can we go and do it against, you know, arguably the biggest team on the planet? It's
it's dead exciting more than anything else.
That's exactly it. It's the excitement for me. And this is the thing, given we've done a lot about this, everyone's kind of been talking about it, how this feels, I think Steve said, right, it feels completely different to the recent Champions League finals. Like, recent, you know, we're talking, this is, you can't slice this any other way. This is still the biggest game Liverpool have had for 11 years. But I feel confidence, I think confidence is the word. Like, I'm not saying I think that Liverpool are going to win it, but I go into this game feeling confident that Liverpool can win it, that they will win it. And I didn't necessarily feel that against Milan. Even I was more confident in 2007 than I was in 2005, really. But I didn't have, this team's so far superior to those two teams.
I think it's the manner that we got to the final, isn't it? And I think 2005, you were delighted to get through every round, and then you thought, well, we're not going to beat the next one. You know, you get drawn against Juventus, who was such a good side. Forget about Chelsea, and then thought, oh, we've had a good one, that's been good, but they'll beat us. And then you get through that, and you're like, oh great, but Chelsea will beat us. But you never felt like that this round. And every round they went through so well. You know, that Porto performance, which sort of gets a bit forgotten now away from home, it's just a complete performance for me. And what we did against Man City, winning both legs and the kind of way we did it. And then the Roma home, obviously it ends up being a little bit close, but to go 5-0 up in a Champions League semi-final, I mean, who does that? And so we're rightfully confident in these players, and they're rightfully confident in themselves as well, and they don't look like a team who's there to make up the numbers. They don't look like a group of players. I mean, you were with them today. You know, they don't seem like guys who think, oh, well, we're just happy to be there, we're going to enjoy it. You know, they're in it to win it, and rightly so.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great sense I got from the squad just watching them, Chris. And look, they weren't being put through the paces. They were doing a lot of very basic exercise work when we watched their training today, but they looked like a bunch of lads. They were playing with each other, they were laughing, they were stitching each other up, kicking balls. You know, it just looked like a bunch of lads who are, and it's a sense I've had all season. They properly love each other, they love the way that they're playing, and they're enjoying the opportunity to express themselves.
And they should be. Yeah. And, you know, they've got to the Champions League final. It's the biggest game in club football. And yet every one of them lads who was out there training today was having a laugh with it. And there's no pressure, and they're not feeling the pressure. And they know why. Because they know they're a good group of players. They know they're a good side who, in 15 minutes, can score 3 goals against the team. Yeah. And that's what they know. Like, last couple of weeks, I've got dead nervous about it because I've been looking into Real Madrid more and more. And I kind of forgot how good Liverpool were until the last game of the season, because I've been doing so much research into Madrid. I watched our lads and was like, yeah, we're pretty all right, you know. Yeah. We're good at the football. We can put that ball into that net thing really quickly, and we can do it a lot during a game of football. It's brilliant to see.
The way that Jurgen Klopp kind of put it, because a few people asked him a similar question in the press conference, and it was like, how do you get the mentality straight? And funny, interesting, it was something that was in my mind. Like, how do you get them focused for the final? He's like, this is not like year zero. It's a big game. We've had loads of big games so far. It's just a continuation of what we've done the whole way. And I'd not even thought of it that way. Is that, yes, there is a degree to which a Champions League final will stand above. But ultimately, it's a game of football against a good team. We've played them this season. We've played well in them in this season. It would be weird if the lads needed...
They shouldn't need Gene up for a Champions League final. Come on. You know what I mean? It is the biggest game in football. And every single one of these lads will have dreamed of going to a Champions League final when they're growing up. And it's not just a continuation of what they've done at Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp. Some of these lads, James Milner, 31 years old or whatever, he's been doing this for 20 years. You know what I mean? To get to somewhere like this and perform at this level. So the way me and you might look at it, or fans might look at it, and you think, oh, the stresses and strains, all they're thinking is, I've worked so hard for so long to be good at this game, to perform in games like this. Yeah. Now you've just got to let that shine.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it, Steve? This is them doing their job. You know, they've actually got a control over this. I think we stress about it because, unfortunately, we've just got to...
We don't have control.
We've got to put our lucky undies on. Exactly. We've got to put our lucky undies on and cross all our fingers and hope that everything works out. Whereas these lads just go, no, I'm just going to do my job and it'll probably be fine if I do that.
And they must be so full of confidence, especially in this competition where they've, as I say, so they scored 7 a couple of times, they've scored 5, they've scored 3s against arguably the best team in Europe at the minute, Man City, you know, 100 points, scored 3 goals against them in half an hour, and the game's gone. That's what will give them full of confidence, you know, that's why they'll be full of confidence. And Jurgen's not going to change much, you know, like we mentioned 05 and 07, we kind of changed our setup or our tactics, you know, the Harry Kewell appeared.
That was
in his contract state to play in all the finals. Remember?
That's not going to happen. We know the team.
Unfortunately, his groin didn't sign that contract.
Yeah, I was going to say his legs weren't as cooperative. But we're not going to change. We're going to do what we do. It's not going to be like, you know what, lads, little tweaks here and there. They're just going to go in and say, do your jobs, do exactly what you've just done, and you'll be fine.
I love how much we are the underdogs going into this. I love how everyone outside of Liverpool is going, well, Real Madrid are going to do you. And listen, they very might well. They're a very good team, Steve. But I'm again, goes back to the excitement thing. I don't care. You know, I'll be heartbroken on the night if we don't win it. I'd be more heartbroken if this Liverpool turned up and didn't have a go at what they were doing. There's every chance Liverpool can go there, and this is the beauty of what we are this season. As you said, we've had enough of these results in this season. I could see Real Madrid could well, and they could just blow us off the park. They could do. That's a possibility. It's not outside the realms of possibility. Liverpool could have a 15-minute spell in this game, and we could put the game to bed, because that's what we've made a habit of doing.
Yeah, and spoiler, that's what I think we're going to do. At some stage, I think we're going to go bang, 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 whether it's two or three or whatever. And then listen. We could do that, and then Ronaldo could score a hat-trick of overheads from the halfway line, because he literally scores with worldies for fun, doesn't he? And they've got really top, you know, Bale's come back into form. You can look at all the reasons why Real Madrid are the boss, and you don't get to three finals in 3 years without being really good. But I don't know if we're being underestimated, but I think everyone who hates us, and you know, they're all back this year, which is boss. You know, we haven't been hated for ages, and now we are. It's like, you won't get past them, or you won't get past City. Or did you see Roma come back against Barcelona, lads? And there's always one more, and the next one up is Real Madrid. And sound, bring them on, and we'll go toe to toe with them, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. What we won't do is what other teams have done against them in the recent finals, is try and nullify them. We're not going to go there like Juventus and Atleti did twice and say, we're going to soak it up, see if we can nullify it, get the game late and then win one. We're going to do the opposite. We're going to say, we're going to come out swinging, we're going to go blow for blow and see if you can cope with it.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do. I think when you're playing that type of team, that you can do it the Benitez way, where it was very much backs to the wall, See what we can get, keep it tight. Or you can do the Jurgen Klopp way, which is a bit more fun.
Laugh in the face, give them a toothy grin, and look to knock them out.
Yeah, so go, like my dad used to say, you always go for the big mouth, you want first and give him a dig. Someone just needs to go into Ronaldo on his bad ankle in the first 5 minutes.
Straight out of crocodile. Honestly,
it never worked. Yeah. So it never worked. if someone can just smash Ronaldo in the first 5 minutes, that's what I would be doing. Hit him and then just go from there and see how it goes. And I'm feeling confident at the moment. We'll see how we feel Saturday.
Amazing. just a little bit on the team news and training. Obviously, we saw Emre Can back in training. I've seen Adam Lallana has been back in training as well. That's massive, isn't it? I mean, there was a point, a week and a half ago, I think we were all looking at the squad and thinking, oh my God, what is our bench going to be? We're going to have 11 players, and then if we can't get it done with those 11, we're going to be in massive trouble. We've done a bit on it, but where do you stand on the Emre Can stuff? Because there's a lot of people out there. Chris basically had to mute his phone for saying something nice about Emre Can the other day on Twitter. There's a lot of people who were like, oh, well, fuck Emre Can because blah, 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 blah. Where do you stand on it?
I'd definitely use him if he's fit, and I think, you know, you'd be foolish not to. I think he's a big game player. I think the bigger occasion, the better he seems to play. He could take a good penalty as well, and we're all hoping it doesn't come to that, but, you know, he's got a penalty in him, he's confident. And I just think, as you say, a few weeks ago we were looking at it and thinking, well, we've basically got 11 lads, and then you're going to fill the bench with people who you're going to look at and think, you know, not sure about that. There was a couple of positives from the last league game, which was that Lallana come on and look really sharp, like sharper than he's looked for a while. Obviously, he's had another 2 weeks training. Solanke probably played his best game for Liverpool. He gets his goal. Now, I think if we're throwing Solanke on Saturday, then, you know, it's not necessarily going very well, but at least it's another attacking option. It's okay if the three of them, you know, aren't producing it, then it's, you know, you can throw a fourth on now, and it is an option.
Yeah.
And then if Emre Can's another one, but that's three good attacking subs there that can help us either change the game or shore it up or whatever it is you kind of need to do. And then that's before you come to the defensive lads, and you know, the likes of Clavin and Klein will do a job for you as well. So what I'm saying is we've got a bench,
yes.
and a couple of weeks ago it kind of didn't look like we had one. So I'd definitely use Emre. And also, I mean, this football club's kind of littered with stories of fellas who playing the last game in a Champions League final and doing something great.
Yeah.
You know, Jerzy Dudek and Vladdy in the last one.
Kevin Keane.
Graham Souness' last game was a European Cup as well. And so, you know, the stories are there, so maybe Emery's the next one. Then, you know, with Emery, well, maybe we'll be all happily waving him off to Juventus with a lovely story.
Yeah. What you've got to remember is they're probably going to play four in midfield and we're going to have three. So our lads in midfield are going to run their bollocks off at some stage. You know, Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner, who's coming off an injury, are going to have to run and run and run. And you wouldn't be surprised if two of those at some point have to come off.
Yeah.
And the Lana's first sub, obviously. And then second, you'd be looking there thinking, well, do we throw Solanke on and put Firmino in midfield? Bear in mind that he's probably ran his legs off as well.
Yeah.
But now you can bring Chan on. I think anyone who says, you know, well, you know, he's leaving, fuck him, that's a load of nonsense. If he's fit, he's on the bench and he's probably the second sub. Because Real Madrid, they're going to have, their subs are going to be, well, if Modric is feeling a bit tired, oh, well, we'll just bring Vasquez on, or we'll just bring Asensio on. They're not, so why would you cut your nose off to spite your face?
Yeah.
Get the lad
there, use him, you're playing him.
Exactly.
He's a good player.
He's going to play, get him on the pitch. And
it gets forgotten quite quickly, doesn't it, Chris, that he's played a massive role in us getting to this final as well. And, you know, we've seen players spit the dummy out. So look, we know what happened. Let's not get into the Coutinho stuff. But Emre Can's been there. He's not fannied out of anything. He's not pulled out. People might make that argument if it serves their narrative or whatever. But he's putting big performances in big games.
Liverpool turned around at the start of this season and said, we're not selling him. Now, I don't know if there were any offers in January or something, but at that point, even if there were, I'm sure Liverpool's stance was, we're not selling him. So he was in for the season. And I had someone come in, you never know. We were saying about Phil Coutinho at the time, why don't you just give us 6 months, see where this Champions League run goes. Emre Can's done that, and yet now we seem to want to throw him out. You know, he scored big goals. He scored one of the best goals Liverpool have scored this season, by the way. That team goal, do you remember it?
Hoffenheim.
That was unbelievable. You know, he scored goals in the Champions League.
If it wasn't for that goal he got against Watford last season, we might not even be here. Do you know what I mean?
And then you look at it and you think, when Henderson was injured, he played about 8 games on the bounce over the Christmas in January. He's done a job for us. And you can't question that every time he's got onto the pitch, he's put his heart in every single time.
The lads missed out on the World Cup, and it's probably because he's been injured.
Yeah.
And he got injured because he ran himself into the ground. You know, last year he played with injections in his knee, and like I say, he scores that Wofford goal and he's injured. And then he's got a bad back and he carries on playing, and eventually it just goes. I think, listen, he wants to leave Sand, all the best, go and play for Juventus, enjoy it over there. But to say, you know what, well, I'd rather bring Ben Woodburn on with 20 to go than Emre Can, it's just nonsense. And yeah. I'm a big Ben Woodburn fan, but I can tell you now, if they go, you know what, we're making a triple sub in midfield and we need more legs, you want to bring an international footballer on, like an experienced one, rather than a kid. And that would be the option, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, completely agree with that. Well, listen, we're going to get stuck in. We're going to be doing preferred 11s in a moment. But before we do, we're very lucky enough to sit down with Trent Alexander-Arnold for a little bit. The full interview's over on the website, but here's a little snippet.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we spoke to your brother and we've seen him at the coach greetings and what have you. And he said, look, he's always there. I mean, you'd have been there as well. If you're not playing in Liverpool in the team, you'd have been out there supporting the team. Because what it meant to you seeing the support from the other side in the build-up to the final?
Yeah, massive. Because obviously, like the Dortmund game, the Villarreal game, in the Europa League, you've seen like the coach greetings and the way the fans were. And I was at them games. I went to every home game that season. And it was unbelievable, the support. And I always wondered, like, what would it be like being on the inside of that coach? Would it be scary, or would they get you up for it?
What was it like?
Come on. The man said, yeah, that was unbelievable. Like, it's hard to describe, like what actually happens, but you see red smoke, you hear like the bangs on your coach and that, and it just shows how much support that we've got. You can hear the songs being sung and everything. You see the looks on people's faces, just so much passion for the club, and it makes you want to do them proud and makes you want to go out there and win the game for them. And I think that the support that we've got this season, especially in the Champions League, has pushed us into the position that we are.
There you go, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, there's loads of amazing content going on the redmentv.com now. So sign up, start your free month if you haven't already. Perfect time to get involved. I like talking to Trent because I love how much he's just a fan. Chris, you know, he's talking about being on the coach, and I just love the smile on his face, and he clearly is reveling in every moment of it.
Well, that's it. He was there for the coach greetings, wasn't he? You know, during the Europa League run, he went to every game that season, as everybody knows now. And, you know, he said at the time, I would love to sit in that coach and see what it feels like. And now he's getting to do it. He's got to do it. And now he goes up to face some of the best players in the world.
Yeah, on the pitch, can't wait. So, yeah, he talks a little bit about coming up against Marcelo and Ronaldo and a whole host of other things as well. So do go and get involved. Gents, the big reveal. How are Liverpool going to line up? Have we all gone for exactly the same thing? And the answer is yes, apart from Chris, who's put his midfield the other way around.
Yeah, I think Milner tends to always play on the left with Mane and Robbo.
I paid zero attention to that. I just picked two of them in front of the one.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it goes without saying, Gibbo, this team absolutely picks itself at the moment. I think if Lallana had been able to play the full 90 on the last game of the season, or if we'd even seen a sniff of Emre Can, we might well have seen either of them get a nod. But as it is, the squad is what it is.
Yeah, it is, and it's too risky to go with anything else, I think. And also, I think the manager's a big believer in, well, they're the lads who got me there to a degree, and that's not to say others haven't contributed throughout the season, but, you know, I've seen some shouts for, oh, would you go for, you know, a change at right back or whatever, but Trent's played the whole campaign, and he's done well. He's not suddenly going to now go, oh, I'm going to put Klein in, you know what I mean? That's the kind of against everything he is as a manager and a person and a developer of people. So I'd be shocked to see anything about
that. And it was something we chatted to him about, something Chris asked him. This is not, people might say this is the game for Klein because of his defensive side, but I think we need Trent's offensive side. I think we need his passion far more in this game. There's going to be avenues for us to exploit, and I just don't think Nathaniel Klein has the ability to exploit them.
Yeah, you're right, and I think using Trent from that point of view, his crossing, his getting forward, his passing. Look, we're going to be direct. We're going to be a bit more direct than we have been sort of in certain league games and things like that. And he's got that in him. He's got the big booming pass, hasn't he? We've seen it, and you know he just looks ready. He just feels ready, as you know, everyone will have seen then. And so I mean, to go with anything else, it'd kind of be a bit crazy.
I mean, it's interesting because when I sat down and I started to write it, I was thinking, do I just, because it's preferred 11, this isn't prediction, I can go with what I want. And I was thinking, maybe just always, I'm getting Emre Can into this midfield. Because I just think when we come up against big midfields and the big players and the big battles, I want Emre Can in there. And then I was like, well, who's coming out for Emre Can? I think James Milner has been an absolute revelation this season. You know, and Wijnaldum, having had that little drop off when he wasn't well for like a month, he's come back with an absolute vengeance since then.
Yeah, since, well, when Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain got injured, in that game, he was getting forwards more, and he was transitioning from midfield to attack more than Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain had managed. And everyone talks about the front three this season, and everyone's talked about the improvement in the back four since Van Dijk's come in, but no one's talking about that midfield. And these lads have had to play pretty much every game for the last few now, and they've been solid in every game. James Milner's been unbelievable in the Champions League all season. Henderson's dominating games. Wijnaldum's getting into spaces ahead of Mo Salah at times, and you think to yourself, why is no one talking about that midfield? That's one of our strengths. Yeah. You don't have the type of performances that we have all season long if you haven't got a midfield. If your midfield's industrious and it's shit, and you know what I mean? You just don't have it.
We've dominated pretty much everyone, haven't we? Yeah. And you look at how we've dropped points and things like that. It's not because teams have overrun us in midfield. We've dominated pretty much everyone.
It is funny, though, that you mentioned the industrious thing. I mean, Steve, we said at the start of the season, we're like, well, I'm not sure this midfield's
crazy. Arsenal was the game that everybody said it about, wasn't it? You know, I think it was Wijnaldum, Chan and Henderson when we beat Arsenal 4-0. And everyone said there's not enough creativity there before the game. Everybody, myself included, I was there. I was on the front line. There's not enough creativity in this midfield. And you go and snot Arsenal 4-0. And you go, hang on a minute, maybe Klopp and them lads know a little bit more about football than us.
There's been a few narratives that have run all season, and one of them is we haven't got a fucking clue what we're talking about as fans. Yeah, and Klopp actually does know what he's doing.
It's crazy, you know, mad how, you know, he's on 8 million quid a year, whatever you think.
Do you think that it's just because the midfield's a bit unfashionable, maybe that's the issue with it. None of those lads are lads that if you're putting together a dream team, if you're manager, if you're doing your ultimate team or you're on footy manager, you're not bringing in Genie Wijnaldum as the missing piece of your midfield, or James Milner or Jordan Henderson. You might be next year when these stats all get redone.
I mean, Henderson's lifted the European Cup and the World Cup, I think. No.
I'll sacrifice the World Cup to make the first one.
Absolutely fine. I'll still be drunk if we're on a Saturday. I won't be able to watch anything. The issue with our midfield, when you look at name for name against what they're going to come up with at the weekend, so they're going to come up against Casemiro, Cruz, Modric, and then probably Isco playing a floaty role. There's no comparison name for name, but that's fine, because there was no comparison with Man City's three as well, and they didn't get a kick. So don't worry about it. I think Wijnaldum's huge in this game, because I imagine they're going to set up similar, kind of what Roma did, in that they're going to be a high line, because that's what Madrid do. Mm-hmm. And it was Wijnaldum's runs that caused mayhem, because they all had one each to pick up, and next minute Wijnaldum was breaking through, and they were like, "Is anyone out? And lads, anyone?" And then all of a sudden, Mo Salah's an acres of space, and then he's Mo Salah. He does what he does. I just think for too many people that are too quick to knock our players. So Henderson's this and that, or Milner's a bit crap, or Wijnaldum's this and that. And I think what our manager does, he just tells them, go out and do what you're good at. Don't worry about So you know what, mate, if you can't play 50-yard passes, then don't try. Yeah. We've got lads who can.
I love that Jordan Henderson interview this week where he basically says, like, I play for the team, that's what I do. I'm not arsed if people think I've got criticism of me. I love it, it fires me up, all that kind of stuff. They're all the best words you want to hear going into this game.
They're very selfless, those three, and they're quite happy to just facilitate the team. And by facilitating the team, it's work your balls off and then give it to the three lads up front who score all the goals. Yeah. And it's got us this far, and I think if you to try and make them into something they're not, or try and disparage them, is unfair. The team's, the way it works, when it works well, It's proven this year to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
No one's been able to stop it, and then now it's up to Madrid to see if they can.
I'm going to put you on the spot in a second for score predictions. We're going to do it slightly earlier than that with something that I want to know what you use, a little thing, and it can be something daft or it can be something as simple as seeing us lift the trophy, but something you want to see happen in this game. And I'm going to kick it off. We saw it in Rome, and I'm desperate to see it in the Champions League final. I want to see Loris Karius go full Ben Foster. I want to see him dropping to the floor every time, time wasting, dropping to the floor, moving goal kicks over the other side, because Liverpool are in the ascendancy, and we go full West Brom or full classic Pulis Stoke. And I want to see how the Real Madrid players and fans handle.
That's their move. That's what they do.
I can't wait to see what they then react to it, mate. I literally was giggling like a little schoolgirl in the Olympico watching Karius do it and them just lose their heads, and I'm desperate to see us get to a position where we can see that again in the Champions League final. Chris?
I think I'd like to see Roberto Firmino celebrating, and what I'm thinking is
What's he got?
Exactly. I'm thinking back to when I used to watch the ice skating. And I like the double axle. I think that's an incredible move.
We were all thinking it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm furious. That was mine as well. What have I got now?
Maybe a double axle with a 720 kung fu kick or something like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Some blades of glory. Shit.
Why not? Like, why not?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Give on. I mean, how do you follow that? I mean, I want to see us make a fast start, and that's why I think Real Madrid, one of their weaknesses is they are kind of slow starters in games, and I think we can get at them if we start fast. I know the temptation might be to feel our way into the game a little bit, but I hope we're just right in the faces, maybe a big crunching tackle by Trent or a Robbo, someone like that, and let them know that we're not there to make up the numbers, but we're confident and we believe we can do it. So fast start, maybe even a goal, and then take the game to them right from the off.
Absolutely, I can live with that. Stay.
Within the first couple of minutes, I can see a big Van Dijk diagonal right into the space where Marcelo should be.
Yeah.
And he obviously won't be, because it's not what he does. I'm Mo Salah there. And then I want to see all their lads going, oh no, that's an issue.
because the penny drops.
Yeah,
forwards.
Exactly. Because Marcelo's like playing left wing. And then you just see Varane or Ramos going.
It's when Toni Kroos is forced to make that run back. And he's like, and you see him after it, and maybe they just get away with it, and you see him, he looks the camera like office style and goes, oh my God, I've got 90 minutes, 90 minutes.
You just see Luka Modric turn around and fix his airband and go, again. I just think that at some point that's what we're going to see, because that's obviously, John said before, we're going to be direct, and we are. I just want to see, because they're Real Madrid, so they don't give a toss about us. They're sitting there now thinking, we're Real Madrid, we'll turn up, we'll win the final, that's what we do. We've got the best player who's ever lived. But I think at some point there's going to be a moment in that game where they realise they're in a game.
Yeah.
And I just want to see the looks. Like, City had it when Oxlade-Chamberlain scored on the camera, just showed a few of their lads, and like, they're scratching their heads, and they're like, what's going on there? Yeah. And I just hope that there's a moment. I mean, listen, if it's the second goal, it'd be delightful, but there'll be a moment where Real Madrid think...
It's that moment where we set the trap, Otamendi style for Sergio Ramos, and he passes the ball straight to Roberto Firmino or something like that. And you know, that was my absolute highlight of those Man City games, particularly at Anfield, was when it was like 60 minutes gone and Kevin De Bruyne has just got his hands on his hips, just looking around. Like that bit at the start of Saving Private Ryan, where the lad picks his own arm up off the floor and he's just kind of walking around, going like, you know what I mean? Like proper shell shock.
Yeah. When Roma subbed Daniel De Rossi off and he was going, what was that? Like I've been strolling around Serie A for months and I've just done what? There's lads hugging him, like giving him a banana. Don't remember those silver blankets at the end of a marathon? They're just wrapping them up, going, "Come on, have a sit down, mate. You're in shock." And I can't wait to see like Casemiro thinking, "What has happened?"
Yeah, see them coming out like the Chilean man is being released. Like you just go, "What is?" That was a harrowing ordeal.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I could live with that. Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is, isn't it, Chris? It's going to be one of those games. There's no escaping the fact that they are absolutely brilliant. There's no escaping how great Ronaldo is, and there's no escaping the fact that he scores big goals. He's done it. They've all been there. They've all done that. They've got every chance of causing us problems. But like we said again, this is the point.
There's pressure that comes with that, though, Paul, isn't there? You know, they're going for the third. They're going for the 13th all told. And you know, these lads, you're right. I think, Steve, I think they will go out there. Zidane will put them out and be like, we'll play our game. We're not going to change for Liverpool. And I believe that suits us more. You know, I think we've been better in the Champions League this season than the Premier League because we've been able to give the other team the ball and chase them down and do the gegenpressing style of thing that Jurgen Klopp likes. Whereas in the Premier League, we dominate possession. We have to work so hard for these opportunities. We're not able to quickly counter teams in quite the same fashion because we're just playing better players in the Champions League. As soon as Real Madrid start coming on to us, if we can nick the ball back and we break on them quickly, that plays into our hands. You know, that's what Liverpool will want. That's what Liverpool will play for. The formation stuff's interesting. They've chopped and changed the formation pretty much all season long. Whether they're going to go with the front three of Benzema, Bale, Ronaldo, I'm not sure. Whether they might just go Ronaldo and Bale up front, who knows? That's the difficulty for this Liverpool side. But we saw it against Manchester City in the second leg against them. We can react. Nobody thought Pep Guardiola's City side were going to set up the way that they did against us.
He pushed all his attackers.
But what happened is the lads reacted on the pitch and Jürgen Klopp reacted, and nobody thinks about that game and thinks, you know what, that was brilliant tactically by Klopp and the lads there. To actually go, fucking hell, we've never played this formation, we're playing some of the best players in world football. They pick the man up every single time. Yeah. This Liverpool side can react, Jürgen Klopp can react, and they can win this game of football.
And the good thing is, without needing to invoke the spirit of Istanbul, because let's hope we don't have to, let's hope we invoke the spirit of 77 instead, where we just win.
I'd love the spirit of Porto away. Yeah, it'd be absolutely fantastic. But
the point is that even if Liverpool go a goal down or go two goals down,
I think that was super bock, by the way. That's all I drank over there anyway. But not really a spirit. But.
Just two things. I mean, that the Istanbul thing will always be there if we need to call upon something. But moreover, this is a team that I don't fear us going a goal down, because I know we've got goals. I know this team's got goals, and it's always going to cause a problem. So yeah, it's exciting. I think that's the big takeaway, and it's great to see Jürgen Klopp seems to feel the same. He's buzzing for it. Everyone should be buzzing for it. If you're nervous, be nervous. You've got every reason to be nervous. It's massive. It's the final. Oh my God. But yeah, look, remember that, you know, we're in it because we deserve to be in it. And I truly believe we can do something. Let's see if the lads do too. Score predictions. Stay.
4-2 to Liverpool.
Oh, go ahead.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That'll be a good game, won't it? I'm going to go 3-1, Liverpool.
Okay.
3-2 Liverpool, but we go up 3-0. And then it's proper nervy at the end.
I was thinking 4-1.
And then Karius is doing all the...
on the floor, rolling round, want to see it. 4-3 to Liverpool.
I've got that one.
I know what it'll be, mate. It's going to be, I'm going to come back. Like Fabrizio Ravanelli, yeah, just pure white.
Like me.
I'll come back like you guys going already.
Yeah. It's going to go one or two. I think Liverpool will win. I think we will either blitz them and everyone will go, what the hell is going on? And this is like the final birth of this team. We've talked about it on the way. Like, I feel like we're kind of shedding a bit of that old way. We brought it back in a big way. We had a big revival in Rome, didn't we? Of the hardest way possible to secure a game. So this might be the last season we do that. So we'd have to do it in the final as well. But equally, you know, we could just go and just absolutely batter them.
4-3 might kill me.
I know, but...
It's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're willing to let me die for us to win.
How many times have you predicted since we've been doing this a Liverpool loss?
Probably once.
Okay, I've never done it. John, on the wrap, you do your predictions.
I very rarely say we're going to get beat. Yeah.
Interesting.
I did it once and it wasn't worth doing again. Look at the amount of abuse I got. I think we were playing like Barcelona or something. I was like, they're good. But yeah, no. Especially this Liverpool side, I'm not in it for that.
I've got some news for everyone. And look, I'm not saying if you've got your superstitions, please do them all. Please get your karma straight between now and kickoff. You know what I mean? If you have to help people over the street, open doors, do all that stuff, all that good stuff, be a good person, just in case. But ultimately, there is no benefit to being negative about this. This is the best part. This is the part when it all lives in theory and it all lives in dreams and positivity. There's a game of football that's got to be played. Get nervous then. Get nervous and you know, cheer and clap and stamp your feet and do all that stuff, whatever it takes. Do whatever you got to do. But yeah, this is amazing that we're in a Champions League final.
Am I just sitting here saying, oh, we're going to lose?
The highest order.
You're in the wrong place, pal.
Yeah, definitely. You support the wrong club because, you know what, we're very good at this European Cup final lark. Generally speaking, so let's see how we get on. Yeah, score predictions in the comments below. Thoughts on anything we've discussed as well. Preferred 11s, and as I say, go over to theredmentv.com. With the Road to Kiev documentaries coming out, Si has absolutely smashed it from what I've seen of that so far. We've done alternative commentaries to some of the best Champions League finals Liverpool have been involved in as well. Chris has chatted to Gillan Balague, and Gillan Balague's plied him with wine. It's great. And of course, Trent Alexander-Arnold
nice
as well.
I mean, I've said about anyone who plies me with wine. But he was genuinely a nice chap.
And of course, go check out more John in the build up on the Anfield Wrap as well, where I'm sure there's just as much absolutely sensational content. Guys, thank you. See you all in Kiev. Ta-da.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.